Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora, or head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcasts, and please share those on social media for us. We really appreciate it. Well, Rob, we have a lot to talk about tonight. Last week, we've seen a lot of big news drop, especially in Arizona, where the audit results came out in Maricopa County. 3,981 voted despite registering after the October 15th deadline. 11,326 voted who were not on the voter rolls on November 7th, but were on December 4th. 18,000 voted and then were removed from the rolls after the election. 74,243 mail-in ballots with no evidence of ever being sent. Just claim after claim, and it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with this in Arizona. I don't expect President Trump to come back anytime soon, but the feeling of vindication would be very nice. I think that's what a lot of people want, is to be proven right. When we've been saying that there was massive election fraud, it was obvious for all to see some of these stories come out. Even in Georgia now, we're hearing some more news. Tucker Carlson recently reported. So yeah, it looks things are finally starting to hit the fan, and I am excited. How about you, Rob?
I'm excited also. I want to say welcome to all of our listeners. Another night of After Dark with Rob and Andrew. And as you said, Andrew, a lot has been taking place. And I would venture to say that a lot would take place within the upcoming days, up until, you know, the election of 2022, up until the election of 2024. And I would say to conservatives, Republicans, independents, Democrats, hold on, because it's going to be a bumpy ride. We have always suspected from day one that there was something nefarious taking place with the elections in Arizona, Pennsylvania, Florida, Georgia, and just many other states also, Texas. But proving it seemed to be impossible. And I say impossible because we saw with our very eyes, we heard people testifying and saying that something nefarious had taken place. We heard people coming in saying that ballots were moved, from one place to the other, trucks were sent in. Now, I know that people heard all this and they said, this sounds like a bunch of hokey pokey. It's not true, this didn't happen. But now we're seeing that it did happen, and it was true. You think back to 2020, when Rudy Giuliani held these different meetings in these different states for the election boards, and they were saying, or had identified people who saw things that should it have been taking place, that took place, and no one could explain it. And these people didn't know each other. They were from different states. So what reason would they have to lie to say that something nefarious took place if it didn't? We were told to believe, don't believe your eyes. These people are just lying. But down within, we knew that something was taking place. Now, some would say, we looked at the votes, they recounted the votes, and still it wasn't enough to give Donald Trump a win. Now, I know initially people thought that if they recounted the votes, he would win. But I had gotten beyond that. Andrew, my whole thing was, did something nefarious happen? And if it did, it shouldn't have happened. They apparently looked at the votes, so they say, and they proceeded to go forward and say, well, we're going to leave the votes as they were. Some of the senators got cold feet and decided not to challenge the certification because of what happened on January 6th. Some of them did challenge it, like Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, and they got heat for it. And to this day, they're still getting heat for it, when under the Constitution, they were allowed to do it. In the Constitution, and if you look back, and we've said this before on the show, that every election where a Republican has won, Democrats have always pushed back and challenged it when they got ready to certify the votes. Now, you didn't see it. We don't see it because it's done behind closed doors. And the media didn't see fit to show it. But we know that it did take place, that they did challenge the elections. They challenged it when the first Bush won. They challenged it when the second Bush won. They challenged it when Ronald Reagan even won. They're constantly challenging the elections. And then when Donald Trump won, they challenged it again. And it got to the point that you had congressmen coming out, Elijah Cummings, saying that he was not duly elected, that he's not the president. And it just kept going. Throughout Trump's entire term in office from 2016, they were saying that he was not a duly elected president, that Russia helped him. Now, albeit, they investigated it, they had a commission, thanks to Jeff Sessions, who was afraid of his own shadow, and nothing was found. They even challenged that. And it just kept going over and over again. But at the moment, Republicans challenge the election and say, let us look at this. We're told to keep quiet. So of course, people are going to be mad and angry because you guys had 4 years of challenging an election that was legitimate and you lost. And you allowed Hillary Clinton to come up and say that the election was stolen and that it was Russia collusion. And this was all part of their game plan to say that it was Russia collusion. And there was no collusion on behalf of the Trump team. There was with the Democrats, with Hillary Clinton. We're yet to get to the bottom of that. Thank you, Bill Barr. You did absolutely nothing, wherever you are. Thank you for doing absolutely nothing. Thank you for coming in and saying that you were going to do something. Thank you for coming in and setting the stage. Thank you for coming in and saying, I'm going to put John Durham to do this. Thank you for coming in and doing absolutely nothing. And here we are. Arizona is coming out. And those numbers that you mentioned, Andrew, are staggering. Again, we are not saying that Trump will be placed in office in August as the Democrats and the propaganda arm media is saying. Because they're saying that, oh, they think that he's going to be placed into office in August. No, we're not saying that. You guys are saying it. Why would we say it? We know that it's not going to happen. We know that it can't happen, according to the Constitution, until 2024. But yet and still, they keep putting this out there. We see the numbers. We see what went down. We saw the discrepancies. And there's more to come, Andrew. We've had guests on here who said the exact same thing. There's more to come. Chad Canton came on and he said there's more to come. But we're told, no, don't say it. And if you do say it, you're against the country. You're a white supremacist. You want to tear down democracy. Democracy was torn down during the 4 years of Trump's presidency when the Democrats and the media constantly said that he was not a duly elected president. There was even a representative who refused to go to the inauguration because he said that President Trump was not duly elected. Now imagine that. A representative, he put that out there, and the media constantly running with it. It's unbelievable that in today's society that you would have elected officials to say this and to stand by it, and no one challenges them. Who are we as a nation? And this is allowed to happen because of the media.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens from this point forward if the Maricopa County does not have a good response and they just allow this evidence to be laid out, which is obvious fraud, and it's up to Maricopa County now to set the record straight, or there will not be election trust in Arizona. People will not trust the system again if nothing is changed. So that's what we need to do, is change it back to how it was when we were having elections before. The Democrats tried to change everything with the COVID-19, and now the goal is obviously to make it impossible to have another fair election, and they want to fortify their power forever. They want to, by preventing mandatory citizen checks, virtually eliminating signature verifications and voter ID laws is what the Democrats want to do. And that's what we are pushing against. Like, we see this in Texas just recently, these Democrats leaving. They are just petrified of having free and fair elections, which is all the Republicans want.
Free and fair elections. That is all we want. That whole thing that the Democrats in Texas leave in Texas so that they can't push forward the election laws, flying to D.C. with beer in tow on private jets. What about climate change? Who's paying for it? Oh, we got a private donor. But yet they're receiving a stipend from the state of Texas, $250 a day for lunch and whatnot. Who's paying for the rooms in D.C.? Oh, it's private donation. Just imagine had Trump done that. Impeach him. Let's impeach him. We need an impeachment. I see a common thread here, Andrew, and that is the media. The media has become weaponized along with big tech. They are functioning arms of the government. There is no one to call them out. Who would do it? We would think that the media would do it, but they're not going to do it, Andrew. You know why? Because they have too much to gain and too much to lose. if they were to call it out. This is by any means necessary to finally and once and for all squash conservatives, Republicans. They want to just take them out for once and for all and have one party. And it's not the Democrat Party. It's the Socialist Party. The Democrats died long ago, Andrew. They're dead. They're now socialist. Look at what's happening in Cuba. Not a one of them have come out and denounced it. Black Lives Matter has denounced the United States. Where's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? Where's Bernie Sanders? They're hoping that millennials don't see what's happening. They're hoping that millennials don't see that the Cubans are saying socialism will kill you. It is not good. You don't want socialism. You don't want communism. They're hoping that this just blows over. Look at Jen Psaki. She criticizes the Cubans and she says, well, you know, they're tired of what's happening in their country and they want freedom. Yeah, they want freedom. That's the reason why they're holding up America's flag. Oh, glory. The flag that the people here in the United States want to burn, the flag, our flag, red, white, and blue, that the Olympics want to change. But the people in Cuba are saying, no, we want that. And then you have the Secretary of Homeland Security coming out telling the Cubans, don't you come here. Don't you cross the borders and come here. You better stay there. We'll send you back. Oh, you'll send them back, but you'll let the Mexicans come illegally. You'll send the Cubans back, who would probably come here, work, pay taxes, claim political asylum because they are being persecuted, but you got hundreds and thousands of Mexicans coming across and you're okay with that. Why is that? Well, they don't want the Cubans to come and they'll probably vote conservative. So we don't want them here.
Yeah, it was really interesting. Jen Psaki was asked directly recently, communism is a failed political ideology. And she actually said, yes, it was. And people gave her a lot of credit for that. But I do not give her any credit for that because it's part of the left's trick. They want people to believe that communism and socialism are somehow two separate different things when we all know it leads to the exact same thing.
It is exact same thing. Failure, failure, failure. That will destroy the country. But you have millennials who are thinking, oh, America's bad. We don't like America. America has done nothing. I'm embarrassed to be an American. You're embarrassed to be Americans, so why don't you tell the Mexicans that are coming here, don't come here, because it's embarrassing. You see how this doesn't make any sense, folks? We're telling Mexicans to come to a repressive country that we're saying is going to hate them and hate their children and hate them for the rest of their lives, but we're still telling them to come. They're coming because they're saying, hey, look at all the freebies. We want that freedom. But you got people who were born here, Andrew, that don't get it. I love all people, but I don't think I could have a conversation with someone who is so simple-minded, unwise, and can't see how stupid they're being. They're telling people to come here. All the while, they're saying the country is a bad place. It's just, listen to what you're saying. And they're saying that they're embarrassed to be an American, but you want other people to come here as Americans. And the media, they're complicit. I don't like them. And as I said in one of our broadcasts before, I think it was Clarence Thomas who alluded to, and I'm not going to quote him exactly, but it says something to the fact that we need to revisit the media. Journalism, the press, as stated in the Constitution. Because what they were designed to do, they're not doing it. What they were created to do, a free press, is anything but free. They have become operatives of the government, along with big tech. I'm glad that President Trump has filed a lawsuit, a class action lawsuit, and I hope a judge sees it that way. And I say that I hope because we have a lot of activist judges that are out there. I don't know how they got there during the 4 years that Trump was a president and he elected a lot of federal judges. Why aren't those judges hearing these cases? Well, a lot of them are rhinos. And as one of our guests said, more than one guest said, that there are many people in the Republican Party, they don't want things to change. They actually want to be in the minority so that they can raise money and they can always point out a boogeyman. Mm-hmm. They're perfectly content as taking the back seat and wagging their fingers and saying, I told you so, I told you so, while they're raising money. Raising money for what? What are you going to do? Just go to the Hill and make a career out of it?
Like we said many times before, the biggest downfall President Trump made in his presidency was who he surrounded himself with. Obviously, it was a case of him not having a lot of experience, so he took a lot of people's advice on who he should hire, and it was a lot of bad advice. And now we're even getting mixed messages from some of the Supreme Court justices that he selected. President Trump blasted Brett Kavanaugh recently, and I think it's well deserved. If you look at Kavanaugh's record since joining the Supreme Court, he's voted with the liberals over 80% of the time. He's had some very disappointing decisions on his end, in my view, not a conservative just from what I see. So I've been disappointed in Brett Kavanaugh. Amy Coney Barrett has also had a lot of questionable choices in her career. I think these were picks that President Trump was getting from rhinos like Lindsey Graham, people who were not really on his side, but pretended to be the entire time. And now this is what we are stuck with.
If that is true, I would say to Kavanaugh, look at what the left put you through. You're going to go through all that, and then you're going to go in and not make decisions based upon your conscience, based upon the Constitution, but you're going to make decisions based upon they might come after me. I wonder if they're being true to themselves or just true to the Democrat Party because they're afraid, or they're looking at this and thinking, oh, it's time for a change. No, you have to look at the Constitution and read the Constitution, be a constitutionalist, but not try and put in, well, it's time for a change. No. I mean, a lot of these people have failed us miserably. And just going back to what you're saying about President Trump, you're correct. And I want the record to state this, because many people think that we can't criticize President Trump, that whatever he does, we agree with him. No, we can criticize him. That doesn't mean we dislike him. But he did make a lot of decisions and choices and people, selecting people that we saw weren't any good. They were there by design to destroy him. I mean, you look at Nikki Haley. She served him well, but she came out and she said some disparaging things, and now she's trying to come back into the fold. And I just wish we had true conservatives that would keep a lot of these things close to their chest. Why would you let that come out? Like, do you see the Democrats doing it? No. Our party seems to be in a flux. Like, we're reactionary, as one of our guests said, Jeff Dornick, as opposed to coming up with a strategic response. We're just like all over the map, wanting clicks. We want to make the 6 o'clock news or at the top of the news cycle, as opposed to being true to our convictions and saying, no, this is who we are. And as President Reagan said, thou shalt speak no ill of another Republican. You look at General Mark Milley. The guy is a complete disaster. Never liked him. Mad Dog Mattis, John Kelly, the whole lot of them have let us down. And for what? A report came out the other day that our military would not be prepared, our Navy would not be prepared to go to war with China. But you know what? They're caught up on their diversity training. They cross all the T's and dotted all the I's. Where is that going to get you when you're going to war? I'm sorry, Andrew. I just think that the country, we've lost. We've lost a lot of ground here. You look at social media. We've talked about this before. As opposed to sticking beside each other and being together, we are so fractioned and just disjointed that we don't know how to uplift each other and support each other. You look at all the different conservatives that have been out there that have been kicked off social media. And as opposed to us trying to coalesce around them to keep that message going, we run from them. We don't say anything. So how can the message get out there? You and I, we're just one part of the equation to keep the message going. Why aren't more people out there supporting us?
That's a very good point, Rob. And the Republican Party really needs to get behind and stand behind these patriots who are getting banned and suspended off of social media. I seen something very interesting. CPAC was called CPAC Uncanceled this year. But apparently the only person who spoke at CPAC that has ever had an account canceled off of social media was President Trump. Everyone else that spoke at CPAC still has their Twitter account. They still have their Instagram account. They still have all their social media accounts. So, and there's a lot of great conservatives that we've seen get banned. I don't know about you, Rob, but I wasn't asked to speak at CPAC. They're not reaching out to a lot of these conservatives who have been banned and silenced from social media. We need to support these people because it's truly an awful to have your voice silenced.
It is. It is completely awful. And that's a good point, a great observation. But we need to take stock of who we are and what we're doing. And we're just having a frank, honest conversation. Because as you said at the top of the hour, so much has transpired within the recent weeks. And we've lost so much ground. We've lost a lot of ground, especially when it comes to social media. We should have saw the signs that that's where the news cycle was moving. They would control the media. They would control the message. I know a lot of people had, you know, high hopes for Parler. Yeah, but Parler is on a liberal platform. We would like to think they're going to be magnanimous, but they're not. They shut Parler down. And why? Why did they shut them down? And why didn't a judge come in and say, you can't do this, you're silencing free speech? He did it because he didn't care. As far as he was concerned, well, we don't want to hear what they have to say. Are you serious, Mr. Conservative Judge? There is no way as a judge I would have allowed that. I would have said, no, put them back on the platform while you make your case. But look at how much ground they lost trying to regroup. And I can't remember the guy's name who was over at the CEO, but he was a rhino. He didn't care. And now we're coming up with Gettr, another conservative platform. It shouldn't be that way. Look at how we're dividing ourselves again. But no one has the guts or the balls to stand up and call it out. None of the judges. All the judges have become afraid. They're afraid of Antifa. They're afraid of Black Lives Matter because they might come and protest. Well, conservatives would protest also, but we have jobs. And when we do protest, when we do it, Andrew, they mix it up. They infiltrate what we're doing. They cause a ruckus. And then they say it was an insurrection. We were trying to overthrow the government. How the heck were 200 people trying to overthrow the government and they had no weaponry? Okay, maybe someone had a gun or a knife. They had no machine guns. They had no tanks. So how in the hell are you going to overthrow the government? I mean, you just think about this. This is crazy. But they talk about it, they being the media, nonstop, insurrection, insurrection. And the more they talk about it, people believe it. The more they talk about it, you have these millennials that do have no other thought process. They start to believe it. And conservatives should talk about this and push back on it all the time, 24/7. Look at how they talked about Russia collusion. That is a reason why I don't care if I come on here every night and talk about the insurrection was a lie. I will do it. Because if I had to listen to 4 years of a big lie of Russia collusion, when we saw there was no collusion, Bill Barr should have come out and just denounced it. I mean, adamantly, there was no collusion. It was a big lie. Where the hell is John Durham? He should have lit some fire up onto John Durham and say, we need something concrete. John Durham's out there, for all we know, just taxpayer money being paid, having a good time. And as they said, you know, he might even file a report. And these are supposed to be conservatives. Well, we don't want to make it look like as if we're getting back at them. No, I don't care how they look at it. It's the law. If the law was broken, and it was, people need to be held accountable. You can't silence people's voices because you don't like what they're saying, because you don't like the guy at the top, and you want to legitimize it. After going through 4 years of hearing about Russia collusion, and there was no collusion, 4 years of information being leaked to the media, yet here we are.
Yeah. I want to talk about the hypocrisy with what we see with this January 6th insurrection as well. I mean, how many times have we seen, I think it's the one photo where a cop is laid out on January 6th, which is awful. We do not condone ever hitting a police officer. It's bad. But there's like one picture of a cop that's laid out on January 6th, and the media shows it over and over and over again. But then you've got anyone who watched the rioting in the summer of 2020. I've seen it with my own eyes, but the media acts like we're crazy for what we've witnessed with our own eyes, where the Black Lives Matter mob were throwing rocks and trying to assault police officers, catching police officers' cars on fire, tipping them over, etc., etc. And the media wants to pretend none of that ever happened, and that this January 6th incident is just the worst thing that's ever happened in our country, when on a nightly basis we see a similar situation, if not worse, in Portland when they're breaking into government buildings and rioting every single night of the week.
You're right. We're not supposed to see that. We're supposed to believe that it did not happen when we know that something did happen. But they want to look at January 6th. Again, as I said, the more they talk about it, the more they raise the issue, and it's all false. it is completely false, they're able to ingrain that into people's head, making people think that what happened on January 6th was wrong. When you had attorneys, two attorneys in Brooklyn trying to attack police officers, they got off and they're practicing law. Minnesota, they tried to burn down the police house. No one was charged. All around the country, police were attacked. In Chicago, 2 weeks ago, you had people dancing on the cars, twerking on police cars when they were trying to quiet down a riot. They were let go. But they are fighting and they are doing their darndest to round up everyone who had anything to do with January 6th to put them in jail, to try them. Well, just go to Christopher Ray, just ask Christopher Gray, Christopher, how many of your men did you have participate in that? I mean, let's just be honest. Christopher Ray knew what he did. The guy's a deep swamper, another failed pick by President Trump. And I got to say this, Andrew. I want President Trump to run again. That being said, we'll probably talk about this in the next half hour. If someone else decides to run, I will support that person. If it is like a Governor DeSantis, because we need a strong candidate. If we had someone that had Trump's gumption, his push, but the discipline of DeSantis, we would go far. But I will say this, if President Trump decides to run again, I will support him, but I would caution him that he has to be a lot more savvy politically. Trust no one. I know that he's big on relationships. You can trust no one. The people that you're surrounding yourself around, see them all as enemies because they want to tear you down. He's going to have to rein it in a lot and be more decisive, I don't want to say critical, but he's going to have to be more destructive towards his enemies because they are going to come after him. And when they do, they want blood and they're going to try to rip him apart. So the tactics that he used last time, it's not going to work. He's going to have to become more ruthless. That's the word I'm looking for, ruthless. Because if he runs again, he will have everyone gunning after him. Discipline, but ruthless. Holding everything close to his chest. Because whatever he tells anyone, they're subject to leak it. He has got to choose his army of men around him extremely wisely. And there aren't a lot that are out there. But I would employ him now to start looking and thinking. Because he can't create what he created last time. Because the majority of those individuals were all swampers. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah, well said, Rob. And you were tuned in to After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows over at America Out Loud Talk Radio. We will be back with more on After Dark with Rob and Andrew.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's HealthyCell.com. HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Well, there was a time when Americans could rely on the Fourth Estate. Well, in these challenging times, the media is both reckless and complicit. AmericaOutLoud.com. Top analysis from leading experts, articles, podcasts, video, and 24/7 talk radio. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
We are back with After Dark with Rob and Andrew. And we were just getting real with you guys in the first segment, because the Republican Party has a lot of challenges that we're going to encounter within the coming weeks. And we've got to be ready for those challenges. And one of the things I would say to Republicans who are feeling down and out and weak, Healthy Cell. HealthyCell.com. Andrew and I have been talking about it. And if you use the promo code out loud, you'll get 20% off of your first order. It's a gel vitamin liquid that you take in a small little pack. All you have to do is get up in the morning, pop it open, drink it or slurp it down, whatever you want to do, and you're set. Man, I cannot tell you how good the stuff is. Initially, I had problems taking it. I can't take vitamins, especially hard vitamins, pills. So I started taking this, and I'm like, oh, I'm not feeling it. But I tried it again, and man, it has me on my A game. And that is the reason why I am able to come on here every night on all cylinders, I mean, and really let it rip. So again, if you feel that you're kind of droopy and you're not always at your best 100%, Healthy Cell, HealthyCell.com. It will do you wonders. Now, back to our topics at hand. When we ended the last segment, I was talking about President Trump and if he decides to run again. Because I mean this sincerely, and I was talking about it, thinking about it, and I've been thinking about it a lot, that I like President Trump, and I want him to run, but he has got to change a lot of things up, Andrew, because if he doesn't, it's going to be dead on arrival, and people aren't going to, it won't be as easy as it was in 2016, because right, he has the entire world, these lefties that are against him, big tech. We've got to make a lot of headway with big tech and the media. That is the battle in itself, because they will give him no airtime. They will shut him down. All these platforms that conservatives have built that are running off of liberal platforms, they're going to kick them off, shut them down. Look at how they are now. I mean, all this false information. Look at Biden. Now, this is really scary. His administration is talking with big tech, social media, about disinformation. They're contacting the cell companies like Verizon and AT&T and Sprint so that they can spy on your text messages to see what you're saying that they consider misinformation. The Surgeon General came out and was talking about misinformation the other day. I'm like, what? They're concerned about misinformation. If you're on Facebook or Twitter, if you tweet or say something about COVID-19 or the vaccine, they will put a flag on what you're saying and say, read this first. I'm sorry, social media doesn't work for the government and it's not part of the government. But remember what Maxine Waters said right before Barack Obama left office. She said that he had an entire division in the White House working with Google and a lot of these other big techs. There it was right there. She spilled the beans. So now we see it's come to fruition. Now Biden is talking to big tech, the Zuckerbergs. And then they're all liberals. The guy over Twitter. They're all in cahoots with Google as well. And they're spying on us the same way they spied on President Trump. But the fact that they're looking at our text messages, and they said, no, we're not looking at your information. They're looking at what you're saying. This is all part of socialism, that they want to control the messaging. If someone puts on Facebook that they're the president, that's misinformation, but I don't care. I'm smart enough to know that, no, you're not the president. But if you say anything negative about the vaccine or COVID-19, they're going to shut you down and say, nope, nope, we can't have this. And how many times is this person saying it? That's dangerous. Why aren't more people pushing back? And I know that it seems like it's so small, but you start there, and then you start creeping or seeping into other parts of our lives, changing things, editing things, not allowing us to say things, not allowing us to see things. Again, go back to the military. The military has become a tea party full of wimps, unfortunately, Yes, there are a few strong men and women, but there's also a segment that's full of wimps. And, you know, that's how they want it. They're okay with that. But I don't need a wimp to fight a war. You look at football. Do you see wimpy guys out on the field? No, you want the strongest and the toughest. But when it comes to our military, you got, what's the guy's name? Mark Miley. He's on Sesame Street laughing it up and having fun, making certain that everyone's taking their diversity courses, making certain that they have equal black people, white people, red people, green people, transgenders, gays, lesbians. It's crazy. That should be the last thing on their mind. I don't care about the rainbow flag. Celebrate it, but coming into the military, there's only one flag, and that's Old Glory, red, white, blue. All this other stuff is insignificant, but it has managed to creep its way into our government and into our lives. What percentage of the population is homosexual? Like 4%? Yet and still, they're forcing their agenda down our throats. Though some would say, oh, don't say that. No, I am saying it because I don't care who you're sleeping with, but I would expect you to have respect for everyone. You turn on the TV, as one of our guests said, Michael Loftus, you got a gay person just trying to decide, oh, what should I wipe my butt with? I don't care. It's tissue. It's, you know, it's toilet paper. But you got to make sure you have an equal representation. You can't have it. It won't get there. But this is who we are as Americans. Man, I hate to think what a decade from now will look like if conservatives aren't successful in taking the House, both houses in 2022 and the presidency in 2024. Does not look good at all, Andrew.
I agree, Rob, about taking the House and the Senate, but I have a little bit different take on what you mentioned originally with President Trump running for office again. I personally go back and forth on whether he should or not myself. If that's what he wants to do, I will fully support him. But as far as the media and social media, big tech goes, I don't think they really hurt President Trump, because if you look at when he ran in 2016, he got very bad coverage, got 63 million votes. And then up to the 2020 election, social media censored him, and he could not have gotten worse coverage throughout his presidential run. And he ended up getting 75 million votes. So he went up 12 million votes despite all the bad press and bad publicity on social media. So I think after what the American people have seen in 2020, he would be even more popular running in 2024, and even more people would vote for him. But the biggest issue for me comes down to, once again, the election fraud and having free and fair elections, because I feel like President Trump won this election by a landslide. So he could do the same thing in 2024 and still come out on the short end of the stick if we do not get this House and Senate back and change these voting laws that they changed during the coronavirus and are trying to make them permanent now because they see the easy path to fraud, the Democrats, that is.
Hey, I agree with you there. Changing the election laws back. And just to repeat what we've said in previous shows, when people say, well, no, they didn't change it. Yes, they did, because only the state legislatures can change the election laws, not judges. Judges came in, changed the laws, and made it seem as if though they could do it because why? They're judges. So people didn't question it. That people who know the Constitution and know how election laws work, we know that what they did was wrong. And that is a reason why the Democrats want to make it permanent. That is a reason why they want to make all elections at the federal level, because they know by doing that, if they can continue to cheat, mail-in ballots, everyone's sending in ballots. You didn't even ask for a ballot, we're going to mail it to you. You live here, you got two addresses, we're going to mail it to both addresses. We're going to mail it to your dead dog, your dead grandma. This should not be, this is the United States of America. And we can't get the election integrity right. And the percentage of people who think that our election is flawed is scary. And why is that? Well, because of the Democrats. And again, it goes back to big tech and the media controlling the messaging and Republicans being afraid to push back. As one of our guests said, they're going to call you racist regardless. They're going to say that you're a racist. They're going to say that you're a white supremacist. I know that it hurts. Deal with it. You know that you're not. Okay, because they're going to call you a racist if you challenge what they're doing. Going back to what we said about Texas, look at the media. Oh, they're doing a great job. They're not. They're shirking their responsibilities. They don't want to work. They got everyone thinking, oh, we're standing up. Okay, Delaware, where that knucklehead resident Biden is from, their election laws are more repressive, if you want to say it, than Georgia or any of the other states. But he won't talk about that. He says nothing about it, and the media won't even bring it up. But they will say, oh, well, you know, this is Jim Crow part two. Jim Crow part two, what do you mean? Blacks are voting. We want them to vote. We want them to get an ID. Saying that I can't get an ID or a black person can't get an ID is embarrassing. When you will have these Mexicans coming here, how do they get IDs, Andrew? Think about it. They're able to get IDs, but black people can't get IDs. You have Africans coming from Africa, becoming citizens. They can get an ID, but a black person who was born here, oh, they're too poor. They can't get an ID. Get over this whole poor thing and let's stop it. And something else that I want to cover, because this is really important. Tony Blinken, the Secretary of State, recently made a statement and encouraged the UN, the United Nations, that sits here in New York City on sacred ground, governed by itself, the states that are part of it, reached out to them to say, hey, investigate the United States to see if we're racist. What? Yeah, he actually said it. He wants them to come and investigate the United States to see that if, in fact, we are a racist country, the United States of America. Now, don't look at China, human rights violations. Don't look at Russia. Don't look at any of the other small countries that have issues. Look at the United States. And as someone said, they believe that this is just a push, or it will be a push, to say reparations. Yes, United States, you are a racist country. You've been racist, and you owe people reparations. Tony Blinken, the Secretary of State. Just imagine had Mike Pompeo, who, in my humble opinion, was the greatest Secretary of State who ever lived, had he said something like that. Tony Blinken should be dismissed. He should be kicked out of office. And Republicans should be on top of it. They should give him a very difficult time. Marjorie Taylor Greene, where are you when we need you? That statement that he made shows you that he cares nothing about America. There's your insurrection. He is trying to take down the United States from within. Of course, the United Nations will take that up, and then they'll do their little investigations. And who's going to pay for it? Oh, America. We'll pay for it. We'll foot the bill. They'll go to all these expensive hotels, expensive restaurants, and come back to report the United States is a racist country. What about all the other racist countries? Every country has racism. India has racism. The dark-skinned Indians versus the light-skinned Indians. The Brahmins versus the Hindus. The Japanese. Classism. The Chinese. But the United States of America. You go to Saudi Arabia, they have racism. The light-skinned Muslim versus the dark-skinned Muslim. No matter where you go, there's racism. But the United States is the only country that does something about it. But yet and still, Tony Blinken wants the UN, United Nations, to investigate the United States for racism. I don't like him. I don't like anyone in this administration. They're a bunch of knuckleheads. They're an embarrassment to the country. An embarrassment to who we are as a people, the United States of America. All this separatism and division that they're creating, blacks and whites, and they want white people to think that they're less than black people, creating more segregation. And what for? They want two national anthems to be sung. Again, separatism. We want the national anthem for the white supremacists, then we want one for the blacks. Black people, don't you see what is happening? What you guys have thought about? You have thought about this for years, saying, no, we don't want separate but equal. We want it all together. And then Bernice King comes out the other day, and she goes, oh, how dare you guys. Kevin McCarthy says that my dad would be against critical race theory because he would not. I'm sorry, Bernice King. All due respect, you don't know what the heck you're talking about, okay? You're just going along for the ride. Yes, I said it. I'm going to call her out. Because you need to revisit your dad's speech, I Have a Dream. Content of character. He would look at critical race theory and spit on it. Yes, I'm calling her out. Because it's time that we start calling these people out. When we don't call them out and we allow these lies to perpetrate, they become part of the fabric and people keep repeating them over and over again. And this is what Republicans have got to do. Conservatives have got to do. We have got to get out there on the bandwagon and keep pushing this over and over again. And Andrew, by God, that's what I am going to do on this show. I'm going to talk about these issues over and over again. I watch Fox News. I watch them have different people come on, and they don't challenge them. They allow them to make all these assertions and don't say, but wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. You guys are saying insurrection, but remember what happened during Brett Kavanaugh? When they came in and the women just sat on the floor of the Senate so they couldn't go in and vote? Remember when the women were clawing at the doors of the Supreme Court? What do you call that? Remember in 1971 when someone came in with a gun, the Puerto Ricans, because they were mad that they were annexed? I think it was in 1948. And they shot up the house? Like, what was that? Remember 2020? All the riots they were saying was for George Floyd? That wasn't for George Floyd, a two-bit criminal. No one is pushing back. And when you allow this to take place, part in our society, it becomes part of the fabric and people start to believe it. We have to push back and say, no, that is not what happened. You guys are lying. And this is how we know that you're lying. The people in Texas, they're lying about voter suppression. Joe Biden is lying about a Jim Crow 2.2. He doesn't even know what Jim Crow is about. The Democrats started Jim Crow. The Republican Party was started to free the slaves, the blacks. We got to push back. And then when, what's her name, Maxine Waters, Kerosene Maxine, says, whoa, when the Constitution was written, it wasn't written for me. When we have been taught over and over again, yes, Thomas Jefferson, yes, they signed it. They knew what they were writing. They knew what they were saying, that all men are created equal. And they were probably challenged and probably in conflict with what they were writing, knowing that they owned slaves. But yet still they said it. And many of them, on their deathbed, they freed some of their slaves. But you have the Democrats trying to hold on to it. The country isn't perfect. We're constantly amending the Constitution. Women didn't have the right to vote. Now they have the right to vote. So we know that when the Constitution was written, there were many people in slavery. But slavery took place across the globe. You make things better. Why is it now that we don't want to challenge these things? We want to sit back. I refuse to sit back. My country, some of my ancestors were enslaved for this country. And when I hear a black person say, well, my ancestors built this country. Okay, if your ancestors built this country, why are you trying to tear it down? Why are you trying to disown the country if your ancestors helped to build the country? You would think that you would be proud of that and say, but my ancestors were survivors. I am proud to say my ancestors were survivors. Okay, yes, they were enslaved, but look at where I am today. It is because of their blood that I am here. Here I stand, and I'm able to talk to you. Yes, there are some Democrats that don't like me. Yes, there are some Democrats that will try and silence my voice because it is a black conservative voice. They will try to silence it. They will make it seem as if though I am insignificant. You look at Brian Donalds. Look at all the black conservatives that are out there that they will never acknowledge. But the moment they get a knucklehead Democrat like Kendi, the guy who's written this thing about racism, who can't even define it, they give him a platform. They give Colin Kaepernick a platform. But me, oh no, they don't want to hear me. I don't exist. I'm crazy. And then you want to talk to me about racism? There's your racism right there in the Democrat Party.
Wow, Rob, you said a lot, and I could not agree anymore. It is time to push back. And President Trump said it best during his speech recently when he was talking about what we are seeing happening in this country, that the Republicans are just constantly responding to everything that the left says and does instead of starting our own narratives and talking about what makes America great. And we aren't talking about making America great again anymore. Everyone's so busy talking about race and all this other things. And Republicans are completely reactionary instead of just shifting the narrative to our own narratives and taking control of the narrative. That's what the media is so good at. And President Trump has done such a good job at fighting off of that in the past. And the Republicans got to continue it.
They've got to continue doing it. But as our guests have said, we've had so many guests to come on here, especially within the Latino community, and have said, don't be afraid to talk about race. Talk about it, and then you move on. You control the narrative. The Democrats know that we're afraid to talk about race. They know that we won't say anything. Jeff Dornick came on the other day. He said the exact same thing. and how reactionary we are, and we're not strategic in our responses. It's all about clickbait. We want to say something, make the headlines, and then we move on. Voter integrity, focus on it, clean it up. China, call out the Chinese, for Pete's sake. They gave us the coronavirus, people. Call it out. Tell them. No, and we're not saying the Chinese people, the Chinese government, because you got a lot of knuckleheads out there that get it all screwed up. Let's just call it out. Look at the violence. That's something else we've got to call out. And I have said this before to my fellow conservatives. Stop pointing at Chicago unless you're prepared to go to Chicago and do something. And we should be prepared to do it. You would be surprised at the people that are there that will listen. It will not be comfortable. And we hear a lot of our guests who've said that. It won't be comfortable, but you've got to learn to be uncomfortable. It is not going to be comfortable because you haven't done it before. But just imagine the upside. Look at President Trump. Look at what he did for the black and brown community, bringing down unemployment. And to this day, the left, big tech, and the media, they want to squash it. They don't want to talk about it. They want to keep it silent. And that's one of the things that I say that he has got to do. He gets back on that campaign trail, he better talk about it nonstop. This is what I have done. And I am going to Chicago, where Jussie Smollett claimed that MAGA country attacked him. Okay, well, let's bring MAGA country to Chicago. Lori Lightfoot is extremely light-footed. She's lightweight. She does absolutely nothing. She just has a bragging rights of being the first black woman, lesbian, mayor of Chicago. It's really sad. All these first-timers, Barack Obama, the first black president, failed miserably. And now there he is, keeping up a lot of stink. Now, I heard that in his book, and I haven't read it, and I refuse to read it unless someone gives me the book, that he wrote about, he took the side of the police as opposed to, I think the guy's name was Professor Gaines, who was a historian, and that a lot of black people didn't like that. So he started losing the black vote. But then after Trayvon Martin, and he came out against the police, that's when they started to like it. And it has not changed since. He has done more harm to our law enforcement than anyone could have possibly done. But yet and still, he has Secret Service and the police to protect him. He was the first black president, and he was the first worst black president. He failed miserably, he and his wife. I have no respect for them whatsoever. First black man to be president? Okay, fine, hooray, hooray, hooray. But that's as far as it goes. Because he has done nothing. He said he has not spoken out against Cuba. That's what's happening there. Name me one thing that he has been on the right side of since all this turmoil has been taking place. He hasn't come out and told the country, folks, let's come together. You might not like President Trump, but he did do what he felt that he had to do. And he does love this country. He has not come out and say it because he hates President Trump. He hates anyone that has not drinking any of the Barack Obama Kool-Aid. And that's really sad. So Mayor Lightfoot, the same thing, first black, done absolutely nothing for Chicago. Black people are killing each other left and right. And just to be clear, white people are killing each other also. White people commit crimes. White people are the dominant race in America. And if you look at the statistics, yes, they're stealing, killing, and doing everything else. But proportionately, black people make up about 11 to 12% of the population. And within that group, within the black community, you have more black people killing each other than any other race. You don't see that with Chinese. You don't see that with the Japanese. You don't see that with the Indians. What the hell is going on in the black community? Why can't black people obey the freaking law like everyone else? Why is it that we have to have an exception for them? Why is it when they kill, we let them go? The other day, a woman was going to see her son off to college, sitting on the balcony of her hotel, shot dead, quiet as is kept. Innocent black kids in black neighborhoods, Chicago, Detroit, New York City, shot in the head. Two years old, in Atlanta. No one says anything about it. But the moment a white person kills a black person, or the moment the police is involved, we're out in the streets, we're marching, we're tearing down stuff, and the media loves it, and they keep talking about it. This is insane. And again, Republicans, You gotta speak up and speak out and call it out and say, this makes no sense. Black people gotta stop this. Brian Donalds, the black guy from Georgia, cannot say it by himself. I think it's Florida. He can't be the only voice. There are others. Where the heck is Tim Scott? Did he just fall off the planet Earth? Why don't I see him anymore? What happened? Tim, where are you? You just can't come out and speak forceful and then disappear. You know, I don't want to fault him because maybe the media has silenced his voice. Maybe they don't want him to say anything. The country, again, has lost a lot of ground. Republicans have lost a great deal of ground. With social media, with the messaging, we have lost it completely. We've got to get it back. We have got to get it back. We've got to recognize the opportunities and seize upon the opportunities because the Democrats are playing a completely different ballgame. We have got to get the messaging back. We have got to start supporting each other a lot more. Candace Owens and Ben Shapiro aren't the only voices that are out there. We've got to get it back. By any means necessary, get it back. What are we doing? Facebook can shut us down at any moment. We have got to get our voices back and push the agenda. Otherwise, it's all for naught, and the country will fall from socialism. We've got to get it back, Andrew.
Yeah, well said, Rob. I could not agree any more. And thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. You can catch us Monday through Friday here on America Out Loud, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, 6 in the West, America Out Loud Talk Radio, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher. And we will see you guys next time. And remember to stand for something or you will fall for nothing.